You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover coming up next segment. Robert Emmett. Joey, we're going to have to call him. You know why? They're cooking crawfish. They're doing a crawfish boil at Golf Tech, and apparently he's doing it. So he can't make it over here. That's just shameful. That's like me. Wait a minute. That was kind of basically like us on Tuesday telling you about all the delicious food we were having at the golf course, and you were stuck in studio, right? It's about the same thing. Hour number two underway. 800-998-1003. We'll continue to give you updates on the leaderboard. As the Masters is continuing with round number one, just the final folks about to get set to tee off here in a little bit as, your leader is Justin Harding, 3 under, and he has finished. So he did bogey since we last talked and he was 4 under. So now he joins a group of 3 players that are at 3 under par. Tiger Woods is at 1 under through 10. Look, if you're Tiger, you stay within 2-3 shots by the time you finish here. I think you are very, very happy if you're him. You know, it's one of those things, and again, it's not that you're completely picking a favor or something of that nature. And I'll ask you, 800-998-1003, when you look at something like this, is it because of the name? Is it because of the success in the past? Or, I mean, I've always wanted to know, what is it? Because he's one of those rare athletes. He's one of those few athletes, Tiger Woods, that translates and transcends different sports, right? Like, if you're a avid golfer or not, but if he's competing, and especially, I think, because it's been so long since he's won a major, that if he's involved in the weekend or if he's there for Sunday with a chance to win it, you tune in. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, how many of us have or play golf enough to where we know most of the players or the different courses? And yet everyone obviously knows about him. And like I said, it's very few players. It's one of the reasons we talk a lot of times, not that it's the LeBron hate network, but it's one of the things that Michael Jordan was able to do, was to transcend his sport and his fans being Bulls fans to where people were fans of his, knew of him, and product likability in the works, right? I mean, you can argue with me. You got to credit him for turning sneakers into it things. Players wanting a sneaker, a signature shoe. It was him. And with Tiger, I think it got people to play golf. I think it got people to watch when you probably wouldn't. Let's be honest. How many of us watched the tournament that was last week? Name it. Name the tournament last weekend. Exactly. Right? And yet, I would venture to say you probably would at least sneak if you're looking at Twitter or however else you get your news, and you see Sunday around 3:30, 4 o'clock, he's within the lead or he's got the lead, you're probably going to turn on CBS. You want to see it. And it's crazy because, and I had a little fun with this when we were at the golf tournament on Tuesday. Joey, you understand what I'm getting at here. Golf is a very unique sport in this aspect of it. If you play it, you'll be a fan of it. It's not the easiest to watch on TV. I have people say it's better to go to the course. Like, I enjoy doing the show from the Zurich, being able to follow the players and walk around. You get a better appreciation, right? I mean, you can get right next to them and see them, you know, hit the shots, and you can see how good you have to be to do that. Because if you've ever taken a club in your hands and tried to do it, you realize it's a difficult sport. Baseball, you flip in, you see it, there's action, there's the pitch, it's a ground ball, the first, you know, a guy steps on the bag, whatever. It's moving, it's flowing along. And there's some people that say baseball is way too slow a sport. Excuse me. One of the reasons people like hockey, right, is it's constant. There's action all the time. And it's interesting because I never hear people say what I hear them say when it comes to soccer about the lack of scoring. People love hockey because of the constant move. The hitting maybe replaces the scoring into it. But what I love about it, much less Stanley Cup playoff hockey, you blink, you miss a score, right? With soccer, it's taken me to watch the sport more, to understand it better, and to then get the appreciation of it. If you watch or you play soccer and you're a fan of it, you know what I'm talking about. You're a fan. You can explain to people, and a lot won't get it, though, how a nothing-nothing or nil-nil game is just as exciting as a 5-5 game. Because when there is no score, at the last second or at any minute, somebody can score and win the game. And I guess I probably didn't get that kind of appreciation level until this last miss by the U.S. to go to the World Cup. And you know what I'm getting at? Where they needed a point, they needed a goal, they couldn't get the goal, and you had, okay, you got 20 minutes left. It's down to 10 minutes left. Okay, uh-oh, you got 5 minutes left. And you're just trying to get one goal, and you can't get it. It's hard. It's hard to do, and you don't see it. So that was an appreciation. Or if you're leading by one and you're trying to keep the other team from scoring to tie, or if it's a tie and the tie gets you to advance and you're trying to keep it like that, it is. It can be exciting from that aspect. Again, it's understanding the sport. In basketball, you know, similar. There's action going on all the time. You see the dunks is exciting, the three ball, the crowd. There's nothing like playoff atmosphere and playoff basketball, which hopefully will be back to the Pelicans soon. And then there's golf, where you don't have the fan interaction during the play. Afterwards, absolutely, right? I mean, it's majestic how it's presented. How the crowd just rises in unison if the putt goes in the hole. How you see the people cheering. You hear, just yesterday we were talking to Robert about the roar, you know, that a player can make that can echo through the golf course in Augusta. And so it's presented differently. The music, for crying out loud, when you see who's leading, is different. It's an acoustic guitar. It's a piano. It's scenery of flowers and bushes and trees and the wind blowing the leaves while you scroll through the leaderboard, right? It's completely different. And when you come back from commercial for a football game, when you come back from commercial, from anything else, it's completely different. It's not an easy sport to watch on television. It's a fact. I'm standing watching a guy standing over a ball. And look, technology and all of the coverage has gotten a ton better where you can see it. You know, I know Fox tries to have with the U.S. Open the ball tracker. And you can see it, the distance and the wind. You got a little wind meter and all that. It's great. Look, and here's the thing. I love playing like the golf games on the video game. It's fun. It's gotten real realistic. It's fun. I get it. But it's hard to watch. Yet, Tiger was able to move the needle, as they say. He still does. Still. It's incredible when you think about it. Very few athletes can do that. And I remember growing up when, you know, Michael Jordan played. I mean, you have to watch. Because that night, you could probably see him do something, or there was an ability and an opportunity for him to do something that, well, nobody else does. It's just that simple. I mean, it really honestly is that simple. That's what made it remarkable. And here's what's remarkable about it even more as far. He wouldn't have had all those opportunities for game winners if a lot of those games wasn't close. That's the thing about it. A lot of people talk about the dominance of the Bulls. Yeah, they were. They weren't the Golden State Warriors where they were just blowing it. They had one season like that where they blew everyone away. But some of those finals came down to game winners. Some of those regular season wins came down to game winners. That's what was exciting, is that somehow, some way, Michael Jordan was going to find a way to win or put his team in a position to try to win, and you got to watch it live. It's tough to see that in golf because it takes time in order to put yourself in that position to do it. Could be leading in the third round. Got to play the rest of the round in order to get it. See what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. That's why, to me, it's remarkable that Tiger at its prime, Tiger at its peak, I mean, it had non-golfers paying attention. It lit off highlight shows. And it turned a sport that takes 4 hours, essentially, to complete a round for you to watch and enjoy and appreciate and look at and couldn't wait. And it's not easy. It's incredible. So, yeah, I'm keeping an eye on it. And we'll let you know here as well. As again, your leader is 3 under par. Tiger is 1 under through 10. And we'll take the break, and we'll bring in Robert Emmett of Golf Tech, who's enjoying some delicious crawfish across the street. If you want some crawfish, you can come here to Vinny's on Fridays. 5 p.m. is when the boil is ready to go. They start a little before that, obviously, so at 5, boom, they'll be ready to start serving them. That's when they shoot to have them ready for you, 5 p.m. And it ties in perfectly with happy hour, 3 to 7 each and every day, so you can enjoy discounts on cocktails, signature cocktails, not just one or two beers, appetizers, and of course the crawfish as well. So come on in and enjoy it. Robert Emmett of Golf Tech is up next. Don't go anywhere on the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Napa knows. Love your car month at Napa. And to show your car the love, get a Napa bucket for $2.99 and save 20% on almost everything you can fit inside. So save some cash and get 20% off with a Napa bucket. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. Minimum 3 items may not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 4/30/19.
Rogers Parts with locations in Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadieville.
Home and Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Home and Credit have up to 30 years experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Car Rescue Wayne's Air and Heat. Rescuing you from the heat and cold and saving you from high prices. Call 985-532-6640.
Come into Firehouse Subs and try the brisket sub, piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Davy Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub, full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to FirehouseSubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs in Houma or Thibodaux a call for all of your catering needs. Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State Baseball Team the best of luck this season.
Archie Manning here for Thibodaux Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. 800-998-1003. Robert Emmett of Golf Tech. I'm not your friend right now because you're enjoying some delicious boiled crawfish not even 5 blocks away from where I'm at. I can't have any because I'm on the air right now. What's going on, Robert? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, Gus? You can
swing
over by. Crawfish is going to be ready right when you get on the radio. So
I think I will. I probably, honestly, am going to stop by and say hi to you. Here's the thing. What you got in the pot, other than the crawfish? What are the fixings that you like to throw in your boils?
We're throwing a little bit of everything at it today. Actually, a new one that Patrick got me throwing in there today is a little bit of boudin. We're going to throw in a couple bowls, try it instead of some smoked sausage. So we'll see how that goes.
What's the occasion, man?
Masters Thursday. Come on now.
Just celebrating the Masters. I love that.
You got to celebrate. I mean, this is the pinnacle of, you know, really kicking off the week in golf, right? So it's the start of golf season. It's the start of spring. So what better time to fire up some crawfish?
No, man, I hear you. You know, it's incredible when you look at it because it is. It's just different. And, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I was sneaking – not sneaking, but I – you find the time, right, to pull up masters.org. You find the time to grab the app on your phone. And not that I was doing it at stoplights, but my point is I was keeping tabs because at every hole it matters. I was just saying in the opening segment here of the show, what made Tiger remarkable, even at his peak and even still, is to take a sport, and again, this is no offense, it's just reality, that takes 4 hours to complete a round, that takes time in order to score and put your position to win and over days, to where you had to watch and you had to invest. That's remarkable, and it's a very rare athlete that can do that, especially in that sport.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying Tiger's ability to move the needle is very rare in sports, the way he can really do it. I mean, it just shows today. I call one of my buddies. I know he's a huge Tiger fan. Tiger's off to a hot start, makes a birdie, and he hooks a tee shot into a bunker, and I know he's doing something, and I just wanted to make sure. I gave him a call. I said, listen, I know Tiger's about to make a bogey, but eyes on the road, okay? it's amazing how he still has that ability after really, you know, not really being a non-factor over the last 5-6 years, but not playing as much golf, not really winning as much. So it's really impressive on his front.
No, I'm with you. Let's talk about his round. He's at 4-under right now, 3-11, so he's on the 12th. Two birdies and a bogey, bogeyed 5, the one you're referring to, and two birdies. And if anything, he could probably have a better round, right? I mean, the story, as I was saying a little bit ago, he's left some shots per Twitter on the green.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, if you look at Tiger, you know, everybody expects him to make everything when he's got the putter in his hand. He's really been... Oh, you know, that's been the weak part of his game so far this season. And if he makes everything inside of 6 feet, we'll call it so far today, he's tied for the lead. So he's definitely striking the golf ball well. He looks a little uneasy on the green so far, and that was really the question mark going into the week was how is he going to putt. So the ball striking is there. It's just a matter of time, I really think, before the ball starts falling for him.
Speaking with Robert Emmert, who's enjoying crawfish over at Golf Tech, and I'm not going to let you live that down. Here's a thing that I think was interesting. We've been talking the last couple of times you've come on about the mental state of Jordan Spieth, the mental state of a lot of these different players, Ricky Fowler, if you can do it. We're going to get to the rest of the leaderboard. But along those lines, I asked you yesterday the importance of a good start for Tiger Woods, because since he's come back in 17 and he talked about it yesterday that he thought he was done in 2017 with golf, to not be out of it by weekends. Because when he first came back and he got majors, he was out of it. He was not making the weekends, and he won in contentions in the weekends that he did make. But to not play yourself out of it is really no difference than Jordan or for you and me, right? I mean, there's nerves there, maybe to a different level, but the pressure that you put on yourself to, I got to be there on the weekend, and that first round, man, those first 9 holes, it matters.
Yeah, I mean, every time Tiger tees it up, the media, everybody's going to say, you know, he's the favorite to win. He's got to win. This has got to be the one. And he hears that. He knows that's going on. And Tiger's known to try and force the issue. He loves getting off to a birdie on the first hole. And when he starts weak, if he makes a bogey, if he makes a double early in the round, he can really, you know, get hard on himself and go down into a much higher number. So what we saw from Tiger in the first few holes, in my opinion, was a patient Tiger. He knew he needed to get off to a fast start, but he's hitting fairways. And when Tiger hits fairways, it's nearly impossible to count him out. So it's just a matter of he's being patient. And if he can just stay within shouting distance Thursday and Friday, come Saturday, he's got so many good feelings at Augusta that we know he can light it up. And you'll see, you know, a 1997 Tiger with a 64, 65, and all of a sudden he's right there.
All right, Robert, let's get through the rest of the field here. And again, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with Tiger as he's one under and on 12. Justin Harding is your leader. What can you tell us about him? He bogeyed there towards the end. He was at four under.
Yeah, I mean, that's another young, really good player that you're just waiting for him to break through. You saw Connors break through last week and win. Now he's all of a sudden shot 70 today. Didn't know he was going to Augusta until 6 p.m. 5 days ago.
Wow.
So, you know, and he fires a 70. You've got so many talented young guys that the media, the public's never really heard of that can go out there any given day and shoot a 68 at a course like Augusta. So he's one of those guys that he got hot with the putter today. He made a few putts, and now he's on top of the leaderboard. Nobody's really played themselves out. Henrik Stenson just made a really bad triple on 13, the gettable par 5. But other than that, you know, everybody hanging around. Rory off to a bad bogey on 1, bounce back birdie on 3. So, you know, he's still there. He's kind of being patient, waiting for his chance to really pounce. So it's going to be interesting to see this afternoon if the wind kicks up, if these guys are able to make birdies in the afternoon round. But it seems like the course is pretty gettable right now. And I'm waiting for somebody to really post one of those 64, 65 numbers.
Yeah, some of the later starts, Ricky Fowler was in there as well. Jordan Spieth, one over. So he bogeyed, I guess, the first hole through one. So he's one over through one. And also Zach Johnson is one over through four here as well. Again, it's just about getting off to those big starts. Tiger parred the first hole. Is the first hole playing more difficult right now?
Yeah, I mean, the first hole is it's a long par four up the hill. So
gotcha.
It's a prime driving hole. If you miss the fairway on one, you're making bogey. And so these guys they're getting out there. I don't care if you're Jordan Spieth, if you're Jack Nicklaus, you're still nervous on the first tee box. And they pull one a little left, leave one a little right. I mean, it's very easy to walk off with a 5, and now you're questioning the mental state, right? Now the psyche comes into the equation. Whereas with Tiger, I mean, it's really pipes one right down the middle on one, he's off and running. So those guys, that tee shot is very important. It really sets the tone for the day. And you're seeing a lot of guys. Rory pushes one off to the right, walks away with bogey, and, you know, all of a sudden now we're chasing it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to keep looking. You don't want to be looking too much up at that leaderboard. And it's just, and I know it's crazy because it's just Thursday and you're just underway, but like you said, I mean, it's one of those things you want to kind of keep going on that. Some of the other names that kind of stand out to me, look, Phil Mickelson, even, he pars right there through the first. Bubba Watson, even through 3. Again, I guess for those guys, too, it's what we're talking about with Tiger and others, right? Just stay within earshot. Don't play yourself out of it on Thursday.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're a little bit more stressed maybe this year with the course playing a little soft that, it is gettable, but the pins look like they're a little bit more tough, in my opinion, than they have been in years past. Looking at, like, the fourth hole, the par 3, you're going to see this afternoon, 234 yards with a pin tucked maybe 5 paces over a bunker. These guys are hitting 3 and 4 iron to a postage stamp. That's not easy. So there's definitely some big numbers out there, but there's definitely also, with the softer conditions after the rain, some birdies out there. So it's definitely, you're going to see somebody, I think, a big name today, this afternoon, or maybe one of these morning guys gets hot on the back nine. I think you're going to see somebody post a nice number, maybe have a couple shot lead at the end of the day, and I don't say they're going to run away with it, but I really think we're going to see a nice number today.
Any of the other players that stand out since you've been keeping an eye on it in round number one so far that people need to know about?
Sergio is a little up and down. I think Sergio, we're looking for a week from him this week.
Right.
Made a bad bogey early, a double bogey early in the round. It doesn't look too good. John Rahm, up and down. He got off to a hot start, and then, again, his emotions get the best of him. Leaves one drive in the bunker, and we see him get hot after, you know, really one bad shot in the round, and he's already on tilt. So, you know, if he can calm down a little bit, he's been hitting the ball well all day. Not really too much. I mean, it's hard to get a good view of how these guys are hitting the ball because
right.
The Masters do it better than everybody. I mean, they restrict your coverage. So
yeah, exactly. You got to wait
really
to the afternoon. I know.
To the afternoon to see
Look,
the highlights.
I'm with you. I woke up
scores, and it's hard to see how they're really hitting the golf ball.
I know. I woke up this morning. I got DirecTV, and it's in 4K, and I got the 4K box. I'm like, yeah, but it's only two holes. I'm like, I don't want just two holes. I want all of them. I want all of it in 4K.
It, right?
Now, I get it, amen. Corner and the bright. That's great, but I want all of it in 4K.
Yeah.
But there you go. Patrick Reed sinking an eagle in the 13th hole. That's one of those holes where you can get some scores, right? I know. I'm thinking of holes synonymous on Sunday where you can go get a number or two to kind of move up the leaderboard.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at 13, you're looking at 15, the two par fives on the back nine. But again, 13, that's a great hole right there, looking at two golfers in the last hour. Patrick Reed, not playing too well. I think he was two over early in the round.
Right.
Gets the 13, makes an eagle, makes a three. Now he's back to even par. Flip side of the coin, Henrik Stenson, even par on the day, up and down. Really looked like he was hitting as well. He's in one of the featured groups. Comes to 13. Leaves it in the water, walks away with an eight.
Ooh.
So, all of a sudden, now he's staring at the leaderboard two, three shots back, and now he's eight shots back on a hole he feels like he should probably birdie every time he plays it.
See, I'm falling into that trap. I have the TV in front of me as coverage is kind of like they're showing it a little bit more now on ESPN, so we're getting closer to the full coverage. And then I also have my laptop. I'm waiting to see what he has on 12. That's why I brought up 13, because it's coming up. You know, 13
yep.
or 15 are coming up. So you want, he's only two shots off the lead. You know what it's going to be like, right? If he gets to three or four under when he finishes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be all kind of the coverage. But again, that's why I'm keeping an eye on it. But it just goes to show you, at least in my standpoint, why I'm keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. And I really hope it's great for golf. And, you know, with Tiger, ESPN times this out. You know they've got a little hand in the box, knowing when coverage starts, that Tiger's going to be getting the amen corner right when coverage comes on, and maybe he's able to put a birdie in on 13 or even eagle 13, birdie 14, and all of a sudden we're going into coverage on Tiger's on the 15th hole, and he's going for the island in two, makes a birdie, and all of a sudden Tiger's tied for the lead going into the coverage of the Thursday Masters. I mean, come on. That's how they want to write it up at ESPN, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully he can make a little bit of move. It's just, man, that flat stick. Tiger was rolling some putts right now. We'd be looking at, I think, a really historic kind of day because
wow.
He'd be sitting at four under with some gettable holes coming.
Well, okay, as somebody that gives golf instruction, analyzes people's strokes and swings over there at Golf Tech, speaking with Robert Emmett, when you look at a day and a start like that too, is that something where he takes out of it and says, hey, look, if I can keep playing this way, just like in basketball, right? I mean, my shot's eventually going to go down. I'm eventually going to get that hit where I'm lacing it to somebody, into someone's glove. It's going to find, you know, field, and it's going to fall down. Is that something that you tell people that are struggling in the putter, go, hey, keep doing what you're doing, they're going to go down?
Yeah, and that's just, it's so easy to say, but that's just the thing, is having the patience to know, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Tiger always talks about his game plan. He wakes up Thursday morning, and he could probably tell you within one or two clubs every shot he's going to hit that entire day.
Wow.
And he's able to really stay within himself, stay within his game plan, and it'll start falling. It's when he gets, or any golfer really, gets nervous, gets upset. You know, you miss a putt, you leave a shot here, you leave a shot there, and now you're standing on 15, you know, on 15 in the rough trying to, on a par five, and you're like, man, you know, I really feel like I'm owed a birdie, I'm owed something on the scorecard. So you're going to take your 3-wood out and try and go for the green, leave one in the water, as opposed to taking 7-iron pitching wedge and leaving yourself another 6-7 footer for birdie. And that's really the mental aspect of the game that these guys are able to really overcome, but at the same time, sometimes they'll fall into the trap of feeling like they've got to push it a little bit, that they're hitting it well, they're just not scoring, and that's when we walk away with, you know, like Henrik Stenson walking away with an eight, as opposed to just plain smart golf.
All right, the back nine, Tiger, pars 10, pars 11, and just parred 12, the par three. So here it is, the 13th, it's a par five. Let's see if he can get a birdie out of this one and get another number there. But I guess at this point, you're talking about the game plan. It almost seems to me it's like he's probably happy at this, right? Just stay within two shots of the lead. Even if you just play even on the back nine, you're probably a little happy. Now, again, Dustin Johnson, Spieth, a lot of those guys just getting underway. they may finish 5, 6, 7, you know, under par. But it just kind of seems to me where if I'm looking at this and I'm Tiger right now, I'm like, hey, I got two holes where I can get maybe two more strokes, get to 3 under, call it a day, and I'm happy on this Thursday.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. And this is what we talked about yesterday, is Tiger, and he's shown this all day today, he's got a hold serve on the threes and the fours and attack the five. He's birdied both par – no, I'm sorry, he missed a short birdie putt on eight, the second par five. But if he can hold serve, attack the two remaining par fives, now he's sitting 3 under, I think he really – you know, waking up this morning, if you told him to sign a 69, I think he would have done it. So I don't think he's upset. I don't think he's worried. It's really – he's sitting in a good spot right now.
Robert, we'll chime in with you again tomorrow around the same time to kind of take a look at what happened all the way through round one at the end of the day and what's going on through round two. So far, again, from the shots we're able to see on ESPN during its SportsCenter, it looks like a gorgeous day at Augusta. So let's hope that the weather holds out. I know just from seeing it here over the last couple of days, there's going to be some weather coming through. And as you said, maybe by Sunday, Saturday night or something, weather could affect it. But today, nothing to worry about. Beautiful, sunny skies. Hey, Robert?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
It's cool. No, no problem. Over at Golf Tech, man, what can folks find?
Golf instruction, man. We're here to make you play better golf. Whether it's clubs or lessons or whatever it is, you can find that stroke like Tiger, right?
And some crawfish today, right?
Some crawfish. I'll see you a little later, I'm sure.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you. We'll talk to you
yep.
soon.
Thank you for the time. Take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll give you some more things going in and around the world of deportes. Something else I want to talk about the Andrew Lopez piece as well, about some of the odds with the Pelicans. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Colonel Baseball is back on your flagship station for Nichols Athletics.
Strikeout, now a throw to second. Mac Odom, he's out. Game over. Colonel's closed. 11-game winning streak over for Sam Houston State.
Tune in as the Dirty Red compete in Southland Conference play on ESPN Radio New Orleans.
Our radio broadcast is sponsored by Firehouse Subs, Joseptic Contractors, Vision Communications, and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center.
Curb appeal. You know it when you see it. And with the Home Depot, you can absolutely get it. Boost your curb appeal with the best brands at the best prices. From new garage doors to colorful flowers, from exterior lights to a new coat of paint, from inspiration to installation, you can do it. Or let the Home Depot do it for you. Visit homedepot.com/services for more information on installing your next project. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Shamit Dua tweeting a little bit ago, and it's very interesting here as we keep talking about where do the Pelicans go in terms of general manager, and it looks more and more like it's either David Griffin or Danny Ferry. And with Griffin, a lot of people speculate, hey, look, he's LeBron's guy. LeBron was upset when the Cavaliers parted ways with Griffin, it makes sense that the Lakers would go in that direction, although there are reports that the assistant GM over there in Golden State is their target for the Lakers. Like I said, we talked about this yesterday, David Grubb and I from Crescent City Sports on the show, that it's nothing per se against Danny Ferry in that I have something personal against him or not. But in speaking with people over in Atlanta, just their thoughts, and the question is just the following. This is what I text a few people. Thoughts on Danny Ferry. Didn't lead into it. What do you think of him as this? What do you think of him as that? Can he do that? What do you think of him? And every single person, it's about seven, one way, shape, or form, that has had to deal with the Hawks, whether it's covering the team, whether it's being a part of the team, whether it's whatever. People that would get an idea of who he is. Everyone. Knowledgeable guy. Knows basketball. Knows the game. Horrible human being. Bad person. Hope that he's not him. It's things like that that made me a little uneasy. It's not, he can come across, harsh or rash or, he doesn't speak a lot. It wasn't like a personality trait, right? Short temper or something. It wasn't like that. It was bad person. Like that. That stands out. That's different, right? One reply was horrible person. Now, again, you can go Google and read a handful of articles on how the Atlanta organization and he parted ways and why it happened. But there was a very real reason why he was in Atlanta, kind of not in the scenes, behind the scenes when it came to working with the Pelicans, because of how he exited Atlanta. Let's be honest, that's why. And it's something that David brought up yesterday. If he's been with this organization one way, shape, or form, or tied into it for three seasons, is it really any different than when you say you're cleaning house and starting in a new direction? Because wasn't he a part of the decision-making process? Wasn't his role as an analyst, as a consultant, as a whatever, to go back and forth with Dell? Now, I don't know. Was Dell the guy that didn't take input from anybody and wielded his own sword and power? Could be. I don't know that. I don't. But if I'm Gale and I'm thinking, hey, this is my guy, I probably before that want to see Dale Demps's emails. I want to know the correspondence back and forth. I want to know what instances and what players and what things did he agree with Dell Demps on? Did he disagree on Dell Demps on? They may know that better than me. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But 3 years is not 3 months. Him being interim GM for 2 months is not the same as he's been tied to his organization. Is there correspondence? Dude, you shouldn't grab this guy. Hey, we shouldn't give a contract extension to this guy. Hey, I'm a little nervous about Boogie. Hey, why haven't we called Rondo? I mean, if I can see something like that to where he differs from Dell Demps, I might feel differently and better. And this has nothing to do with the quote-unquote horrible person comment. Right? That's a whole other element. Also, a lot of people, he's not very talkative, quiet, doesn't like to be out in front. I don't know if that's needed, right? I mean, we don't ever hear or see from Mickey Loomis. So initially you can say, well, no, we need a guy to talk. Let's be honest. I mean, how many times you can count on one hand? Easy. A year. Let's do it. Last time we heard from Mickey Loomis and there were cameras in front of him was Senior Bowl. Right? I don't ever recall, and I could be wrong on this, Joey, do you recall seeing Mickey Loomis in the owners' meetings? I'm talking about like on camera, on Saints.com, on Fox 8, on Channel 6, on 4. I don't right? I don't. You'll see him again, from what I gather, that I know that it's scheduled. He always likes to have his press conference the day before training camp starts, right? I mean, I know that for a fact. Since he's been here, they hold a presser. He goes first, and then it's Sean Payton. I don't ever recall. Now, again, I'm not talking about requesting him, doing a one-on-one with him. I'm talking about out front and center. And I still honestly can't remember a lot of Mickey Loomis interviews and OTAs in minicamp. So, Senior Bowl and the day before training camp starts in July. That's it. That I can think of off the top of my head where Mickey Loomis sits in front of cameras or stands in front of reporters and fields questions. Right? Barring a situation, barring a coaching, barring a contract, barring something of that nature, barring a retirement. Right? You know, with Zach Streif and other players, I'm talking about to answer questions about the team. So, it's not as important as initially when you probably sit there and go, man, we need a guy that talks a lot. So, I mean, look, I don't care if he never speaks to me again, whoever that GM is. I honestly don't care. Make good sound basketball decisions, make good basketball moves. I'm fine with that. Good. Don't care if he ever meets with the media and answers questions. And I know there's other media members that would like to have that. I think it's better. I think it's healthier. I think it's more helpful. I think it buys you, you know, some mulligans when you make a bad, because you're going to. There isn't a GM or a head coach in the world that every decision and every player they make works. The New Orleans Saints don't do it, and they have a high percentage of it working. They went entire drafts where not a player worked. They've gone free agencies, multiple, where the high-priced player was a bust. They've had to eat money. Millions. So it's not an exact science. And you would argue correctly that the duo of Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, so as good as it gets, they get along. There's no arguments that we know that spill out. Sure, there might be disagreements. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, my sister and wife and I have disagreements. So, I mean, it's, you know, yes. But I'm talking about getting along on the same page, having success, following a formula that works, seeing when it doesn't, making the moves and understanding when you don't, when they brought in Jeff Fireline, all of that. You would argue those two are an example of what works. So I don't need the new GM to be a media darling. Media darlings like Magic Johnson don't work. Right? So I'm fine with that. I'm just concerned as to how much change there really is if it's not. Quick break. We come back. I'm going to bring in Jason again, a top sponsor for the Pelicans. A Pelicans fan, first and foremost. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about the GM search here as well. And we'll go over some of those odds here as well. Coming up in hour number three, some NOLA Gold members will be chiming in. They'll be stopping by. A little rugby. Jason, you're a rugby fan. Yeah, are you? Nice. Well, we got a couple of players coming in. Essentially, what I'm told, the quarterback and running back, essentially, of what would be the equivalent of a football team. Coming in the chat. A couple of Aussies. Should be fun. Sports Hangover live from Vinny's 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Low rider, drives a little slower.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
My kids love to play in our yard,
but so do...
Fire ants, weeds, and weak, thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder's Southern Triple Action takes care of all three. Now, with just one bag, you can prevent fire ants for up to 6 months, kill dollar weed and clover, and feed for greener grass so your lawn thrives. All guaranteed, only from Scott's. One application, triple action.
My kids' playground is back.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Southern Triple Action today.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know-How.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs, but before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army. For almost 20 years, I served side by side with some of the most resilient men and women I've ever met. They taught me that we all go through challenges, and one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or a service member in crisis or even having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. All it takes is one call, one chat, or one text to connect. Caring, trained responders are available 24/7 with free confidential support for veterans, service members, and the people who love them. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838255. One call, one chat, one text, one conversation can open the door to support. Reach out today. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Masters round one underway. Justin Harding is your leader at 3-under. He's tied with Patton Kizzeri, who's 3-under, 3-11. Tiger Woods keeping an eye on him. He is at 1-under through 12. He's on the par 5, Jason Giles, who joins us again. The par 5, 13. We've seen an eagle already there today with Patrick Reed, and let's see what he can go if he can get a shot back there and try to move up. Ricky Fowler, my guy, I like him. He was at 1-over for a while. He's now at 1-under through 12. So Ricky Fowler is finding a little more success here. Back-to-back birdies on 11 and 12 to help him bump up in there again. Now both guys just two shots from the lead. And again, we'll keep an eye on that. Full Masters coverage on the TV begins on 2. They are showing some highlights on SportsCenter here as well. But you know how the Masters works. You get a tease until 2 o'clock when live coverage can begin. Jason, how much of a golf fan are you?
I like when I need a nap.
Do you need a nap? I was bringing this up earlier in the show, what Tiger can do, because it's a sport that it's tough to watch on TV. You can have fun going to an event, but sure, primarily if you're at a certain tent and you're enjoying yourself, you know, things of that nature. But it takes 4 days to win. You play a round that's over 4 hours. It isn't right. Basketball, baseball, where it's constant. Yet
baseball's constant?
When he plays, it is. Nah, I mean, it moves. Okay. But the thing is, not only does he move the needle, but he gets you to tune in and watch and sit there. And how does he do that when you think about it? By the sport you just said, you're going to take a nap. Yet, guess what? If he's in the leaderboard on Sunday, what are you going to do?
I'm watching. Uh-huh. And for a sport where the guy hasn't been relevant for years, and then he becomes a competitor again. I sat down at the table just now with you, and I looked at your computer and went, where's Tiger?
Yeah.
I didn't say who's winning. I said, where's Tiger?
Exactly right. It's incredible.
Whether you love him or hate him, you're paying attention.
It is. I was just talking a little bit about Danny Ferry. And again, Shamit Dua at Fear the Brown tweeting, it's not that he has anything. One of his concerns, if it's Danny Ferry, is he says, quote, I can't shake the feeling that the organization won't enable him to make wide sweeping changes where necessary. I think the Pelicans have all the leverage in this situation and they know it. Whereas guys like David Griffin and others, you know, Rosas could be coming in and saying, hey, this is what I want, whether it's financial, whether it's time. Yet I referenced there was an article about what Danny Ferry's contract was when he was hired by the Hawks. He demanded and wanted in the contract the organization would spend tens of millions of dollars in development, tens of millions of dollars in the G League, tens of millions of dollars in recruiting, I'm not recruiting, in scouting and personnel and things of that nature. So if it's written like that, or I guess I understand it, but he has a point a little bit to this. Because, look, he's been tied to this organization for 3 years.
Right.
So did he do anything? Did he tell Dale yes or no on it? I mean, that's part of my reason why I would want him removed from it from that aspect.
Sure. I still think the organization holds the cards no matter what the contract demands of anyone are. It's a sports contract. Tell me the last time one was actually enforced or there wasn't some buyout clause right. or something underneath. So I don't that is unimpressive to me from an initial standpoint.
When you look at it from a perspective of perception, right? Because at the end of the day, we've talked about this, because you were hot under the collar and how things went, you know, that January day. Because, you know, it's like when you get the bad news. I mean, it is. You probably feel a little bit differently later on, one way, shape, or form. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, you sit there and say, okay, hey, season ticket holders, sponsors, things of that nature. Have you seen things to make you feel things are going right? Because I know one of your concerns was, how are you going to make this up to me? How are you going to make sure that my money is well spent? How are you going to make sure that I want to go? How are you going to make sure all of that? So from that initial discussion to April 11th. So,
you know, here's an interesting, and I didn't think about this until you just said it, right? As a sponsor, I say, how do you get butts in the stands? Because then my name is seen in the arena. As a fan, I then say, how do you get my butt in the stands? And I got courtside seats,
right.
And I don't even want to go.
Right.
So it's a really interesting sort of puzzle to figure out for that team. They've got to bring in a management team that really wants to make a difference,
uh-huh.
that makes a difference, and then they've got to do they've got to sell out to get a name on that team that people want to see. I think if you don't do it, even if it's just for show purposes,
right.
you've lost a team that's already, a fan base rather, that's already teetering on that line of, I don't really want to go.
The last game I went to and I saw you there, it was the Suns home game.
Yep.
And I was shocked. I even told you that I thought there'd be 4,000 people there, and it was a good crowd in the 300 level, and I was kind of surprised. I mean, these are literally the two cellar dwellers of the West, essentially, in Phoenix and the Pels. Yet they put on a competitive aspect of
they
it.
Did.
The reason I'm bringing this up, because I thought it was interesting what you just said. You said it needs to be a big name. It needs to be something of that nature. Does it have to be a big – I agree with you in that you need to have somebody that is a face that you throw into and all that. I'm assuming Drew is one of those.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But is it a style of ball? Can it be a brand of basketball? Can it be a team that plays high-level defense, shoots the threes? I guess what I'm getting at is this, because that's going to be the challenge of this new GM is to what exactly do you get from AD? What type of player do you go get in the draft with your lottery spot? Or is it to what you're saying? I need a draw. I almost look at it as I need to build long-term and make sure I have sustainable success. Then next year I draw you something, and then I don't win in 2-3 years. But I do think there's merit to what you say. I like, for example, I'm building for the future, and I get Zion. I'm building for the future, and I get Kobe White, really nice point guard. I'm building for the future, like Ja Morant. This guy wants to dunk on everybody.
Love
you know.
Him.
But that's what I'm getting at. So to your point, like that, right? I mean, give me a draw. Give me somebody that excites me and gets me to forget about Anthony Davis, yet I'm building.
None of it matters under the current head coach, who has shown over the last few years an unwillingness to build the scheme of the team around the players he has. Instead, he tried to make those players play his scheme, and it just didn't fit. So until that changes, I really can't answer your question. And therefore, well, I can. Then therefore, I go to, you need the big name more than you need anything else. You need people you need people who want to come see Zion, who want to come see JT Barrett, who want to come see a Ja Morant or a Ball Ball. I mean, you know, those are one of the guys you got to get. If you don't get them, this next year will be worse than this last year.
Who do you like? Because I was asking this question here as well, as one of the things that you look at, Jason, in this draft too. What kind of player do you need? Okay, let's say Drew was back. Everyone else is negotiable, right? I mean, whether or not we want Peyton back, do we want Randle back? Do we want Okafor? I mean, which is a team option. But we have Drew.
Yep.
I would, because again, he wants to be here, and we were talking about value. If a guy wants to be here and wants to be the face of the franchise and wants to, quote, as he said in the Scott Kushner piece, make this place the best it can be, that's invaluable to me. I can't pay for that kind
you
of.
You can't pay
so
for that.
He's here. He's a shooting guard.
Yep.
So what kind of player do I go
imagine
get?
Imagine a backcourt with him and Ja Morant at the same time.
Yeah.
If you can get Randle back in there and bring in another free agent.
See, I only lean Kobe White because of his size. I love Ja. I love Ja. But Kobe's length with Drew Holiday's, I'm thinking of defensive backcourt.
I understand. I'm going to say one name. Yeah. This is why I love Ja Morant. He's like Russell Westbrook.
No,
nobody works harder on a court, and no one can argue that Russell hadn't been one of the best players.
And maybe if we had like different other pieces, like if AD was coming back, a Kobe White would be fantastic because I think the guy sees the
correct
court.
Yes,
and things of that nature. We'll talk a little bit more with Jason Giles to go anywhere. Hour 3, the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans. Give me all your love.